Okay, this is March the 4th. I'm almost a month behind. March the 4th, 2012, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. We continue in Psalm 119. It's good to be back this morning as I had to be out last week and because of my secular job, but back today. And we continue in Psalm 119. We left off at about verse 22. And that's where we'll take up this morning. We'll read down through verse 32, starting at verse 22, and we will take up there. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning and pray your blessings upon it. Let it not return unto thee void, but will accomplish that which you've sent it out to do. Lord, that it might be enlightened into our hearts might be enlightened that we may see and understand the truth of thy word. Lord, that we might have a great hungering and a thirst for your word and for the truth, for your ways, to understand and to know your will, that we may live by it. Lord, that we may come often and regularly to the throne of grace to plead with thee, Lord, for your help and for your grace and mercy in our lives and upon us each day as we face the world, Satan, sin, and ourselves, oh Lord, that we have to deal with. Please have mercy upon us and forgive us where we fail thee. Please help us this morning as we try to feed your sheep and expound upon your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. great Psalm of David, 119. We continue in Psalm 119, and it's all about the Word of God. Many different names for it. David gives it, recognizing all the different ways that it can be referred to and looked at as judgments, as testimonies, as commandments, as the law. This is God's Word. This is His will for us while we're upon this earth. Even though it's contrary to modern day teaching and preaching, that they don't think that we ought to have to live by any law or any commandments or any rules, that's a falsehood to lie from the pits of hell. It's not for believers. Believers have a great sense of commitment to keep God's word. It is born in us. It is quickened in us. We are reminded as we read all of the Word of God, not just the Old Testament, but the New Testament alike, of all the commandments that the Lord has commanded us to be obedient unto. It's always been about obedience. Since Adam was put in the garden, it was about obedience then. It is about obedience now. We do not look to our obedience for our salvation, but because of our salvation, we are and try to be, long to be, strive daily to be obedient to the commandments of our God. The world does not. The world has no desire to be obedient. The world has a desire to please self, to live as long as they can and any way that they want to while they're upon this earth. Not so for believers. God put it in our heart to seek Him and to seek His will, He put it in our heart to love Him and to love His Word. He has put it in our heart to be obedient to Him and to please Him while we're upon this earth, to learn from our mistakes and to grow in Him on a daily basis. We cannot help but love His Word. From time to time, the Lord allows us to see our need of Him. It's not a very pleasant time for us when the Lord allows us to do that, for we hate sin. We hate it in ourselves. We hate it, period. But it is necessary for us to see our need of Him, see how weak that we are, and our need of His power over us in our daily lives. And so from time to time, He allows us to see that need. David says, "Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies." In other words, because believers keep His testimonies, or His word, His will, His commandments, they are going to receive contempt for that. People are going to hate them because of that. And just like Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, all the prophets of old, and the saints down through the ages have always, people have had contempt for them because of that. We'll look at one. I know we've already looked at some of these. I'm not going back over Jeremiah 20, verse 8. I think I've already read that to you. And I think I've read to you 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4. I'm going to look at that one again just quickly to be sure. I'm pretty sure I did cover that one. 1 Peter 4. "For as much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." There's a commandment. There's instructions for us that we no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh to the lust of men, to our natural desires and of our mind and of our flesh, but to the will of God. "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein ye think it strange that ye run not with them, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead." In other words, those that are alive and those that are dead. They think it's strange that we don't run with them in their excess and their righteous living, their ungodly living, as they always have, because they don't understand. They have no faith. God's given them no faith. He has not given them spiritual life. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. It's natural for them to do what they do. They love it. They do not and will not love God nor His Word unless He quickens them, and therefore they think it's strange that we don't go to the same excess of right, and they speak evil of us. A good example of that is in Daniel, the 6th chapter. I do want to look at that one. I think I already covered the one we just did, but not Daniel 6. All of these references are good for us that we be able to turn to them from time to time to see how other saints have also suffered. This is, of course, where Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den because of his obedience to God. Contrary to what the world was doing, being obedient to the magistrates, when the government, magistrates or anybody else, gives a command, decree, or passes a law that is contrary to the law of God, we abide by the law of God no matter what. If it means death or imprisonment, it matters not. We abide by the law of God. It is supreme in our lives. It dictates what we do, not what men decide is right or wrong or is law. So Darius makes a decree that anybody found worshiping any god other than him and that his statutes would be thrown into the lion's den. And so now, O king, he says in verse 8, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. They had a great law, the Medes and the Persians, that once a king has made a decree, it cannot be changed. Their whole purpose in this was evil. It was not to try to better the kingdom of the Persians or the Medes. It was to set a trap for Daniel, for they knew he prayed three times a day before his window so that everyone could see him, and they knew he would not stop it, and this would be their opportunity to rid themselves of Daniel. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, council, and captains have counseled together to establish a royal statute to make firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered, of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. This thing is true. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree thou signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till going down of the sun to deliver him. But because of the law of the Medes and the Persians, he could not change his decree. He had made it foolishly, not thinking about Daniel. He thought very highly of Daniel because of God's hand upon Daniel. God had given him favor in the eyes of King Darius, and he had promoted him. Daniel was very high in the kingdom, and these other men, being jealous of him, hated him because he was a godly man. And so they went about their scheme to have him thrown into the lion's den. And, of course, even the king couldn't go back on his own decree and ends up throwing Daniel in the lion's den, or the den of lions. But it made no difference. God is in control of the mouths of the lions as well as the hearts of men. And as you well know, Daniel was spared from the mouths of the lions. A good lesson for us concerning whether God spares us or whether he does not. Whether God allows us to go through much suffering because of our stand to believe and to keep the gospel, or whether he allows us to suffer much persecution and even death, as he did Stephen, as he did James, so be it. We keep God's word because it's in us to do so. We can do nothing other. And so, therefore, we do. And so David's praying, remove from me reproach and contempt. Men had contempt for him, for I have kept thy testimonies. That's the reason they had contempt for David and reproach to him, was because he kept the testimonies of God, the word of God, the commandments of God. Princes also did sit and speak against me, like they did Daniel there. The princes that spoke evil of David, you remember, was the Philistines. When David had to go down and act crazy, they said, send him back. He's a crazy man. But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes, even though the princes of the world plotted against him and spake evil against him. David still meditated in the Word of God, because it was the Word of God that would give him eternal life. It was the Word of God that would comfort him, keep him. And so therefore, he meditated in those things. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The Word of God is our counselors. It's the only counselors that we have, other than the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us, which He does through the Word of God. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The reason that we have this is that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So David believed and trusted in the Word of God just as believers do today, and that it is the Word of God. The reason that the world does not adhere to, cleave to the Word of God like David did and like believers do today is they don't believe in the God that gave the commandments. They do not believe this Word is inspired by God. They don't even believe that there is a God. Even though they may say that they do, they believe in some kind of God that they control and can control by their whims, and he's more like a genie in a jar. They just pull him out when they need him. and then when they're through, their danger is over or their financial situation is better, they stick him back in the jar. That's their God, which is no God at all. And that's the very same God that he will tell them on that great and final day when they are running and crying for the rocks and the hills to fall upon them. He'll tell them, call out to you, God. See if he'll save you now. And they'll be of no avail. Their riches and the other things. So the law of God, the Word of God, the testimonies, and that's what all of the Word of God is, it's testimonies, also are my delight and my counselors. David delighted in the Word of God because he knew it to be the Word of God. He knew it to be a help to him. He knew it to be the will of God, so it was his delight. It was in his heart to do so. Even though David had strayed like most men do, David had come back after his afflictions and turned to God, cleaved to his Word, sought and hungered and thirsted after the righteousness of God, and pleaded with God to enlighten him to the truth of his Word, to enlarge his heart, he says here in the next few verses, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. David's soul cleaveth unto the dust could have been for two reasons. One, he's an old man now, and he's nigh to death, so it could be that in despair of life, as some elderly people get, especially from time to time, it also shows their need of him, causes them to flee into the throne of grace to find him and to have mercy on them. Also, it could have been because of David knowing his weakness. David realizing that without the grace and the communion with God, the fellowship with God, the fellowship with his Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, that he would be in the dust, even eating dirt like an animal. So David says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me. Make me alive, the word quicken means. Quicken thou me. Make me alive according to thy word. And by thy word I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. David always went to the throne of grace to let the Lord know the condition that he was in, both spiritually and physically, what his mind was going through, his heart was going through, and that's what he's doing here when he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. He says, I've declared my ways unto you. You know my heart. You know my weaknesses. You know how helpless I am without you, O God, and without your strength. If you leave me to myself, surely I'll die. And thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. This whole psalm is about the Lord teaching David, enlightening him to his word. David understood how important it was to know God's will and to be obedient to God's will. And so this whole psalm is like a prayer to God, pleading with God to teach him his will, to teach him his ways. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Psalm, let's see, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Again, he's making known his ways. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. Now, look over at Psalm 119 and verse 50. Probably on the next page there. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The word of God, David reading, meditating upon, hiding it in his heart, seeking the Lord for his mercy and his righteousness, says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The word of God had made David alive spiritually. Of course, we know this is the Spirit of God, but it's through the word of God that David feels quickened. He feels alive, and from time to time, even though at salvation, or at our regeneration, our new birth, a man is quickened and made alive. We all know believers who have fought the battle and who are going through the battle daily know that from time to time that quickening needs a reviving. It needs them to come before the throne of grace and to plead with God to quicken them and enlighten them to the truth of his word, to give them new life again. That they might become zealous of his word. Psalm 119, verse 128. He said, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. I esteem all thy precepts. In other words, his commandments. I esteem them. I lift them up. I consider them all to be concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Because David knows where that false way is going to lead him. David knows that false way is going to cause him much discouragement, and it's going to cause him much affliction. It's going to cause him to stray from God, every false way is. And so he's pleading with God here in Psalm 119, my soul melteth for heaviness. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. We cannot help it. Believers cannot help but talk about the wondrous works of God concerning their own lives in enlightening them to the truth of his word and showing them the doctrines of grace, showing them the doctrines of imputation and of salvation and of righteousness in Christ alone. They cannot help but see those things and to talk about them to other people, especially when we see other people going to church, going about their religious lives, but yet are in darkness concerning the truth of God's Word. We've been there ourselves, and therefore we hate to see them in that same place, so we talk of the wonderful works of God, even in our afflictions and our time. It's through those afflictions that we're able to talk about the wondrous works of God. My soul melted for heaviness, strengthened by me according unto thy word. In other words, make me able to talk to other people about thy word and the wonderful things that you have done in enlightening me to the truth of thy word. Believers are going to talk about the word of God. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Grant me thy law graciously. In other words, I need thy grace, God. I need your grace to lead me and to guide me, to keep me from turning into like a dog to his vomit, me turning back to sin. I need thy grace. I cannot do this alone. It's impossible. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. In other words, he took the word of God and he put them before his eyes, he put them before his mind, put them in his heart, and he has chosen that, the word of God, being the way of truth. People don't know much about the way of truth today. They don't even realize that there is a truth that is set. That standard has been set by God. I try to remind people at work very often about the truth and the right way, and that God decided what was right and what was wrong a long time ago, and we cannot change that. Governments cannot change that. I don't care what they do or what laws they pass or anything that happens. God decides what's right and what's wrong, and what is truth and what is a lie. And here, David says, he hates, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. In other words, by removing his grace, the same way that the Lord prayed, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. He said, this is the way you pray. Lord, lead me not into temptation. If you remove your grace from me, or if you back away from me the least amount, I will return into my sin. For I'm weak and undone. I've got a filthy, vile vessel of clay that this spirit that has been born from above lives in. And I have not the strength within me to do it on myself. To do what's right by myself. I must have the grace of God in my life. He must direct me and keep me by his own power. He must keep me, or I am not able to keep myself. Who shall separate us from the love of God, the scripture says. And he lists many things there. Shall all of these things, as by the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll endure until the end, and by him alone. So we must stay before him. We must have constant communion and fellowship with him. We must guard our minds. We must guard our hearts, for we will turn. Peter turned when they questioned him about knowing Christ, when they were had Christ in Pilate's hall. They questioned Peter, said, surely you're one of his. I saw you with him. He said, you're a liar, and he cursed, he swore, and denied the Lord Jesus Christ and ran out and wept bitterly. And so we are all apt to do. We're prone to wander. So that communion and that fellowship with him, guarding our mind, guarding our heart, is very important. And of course, as you are tested and tried, which the Bible says that we all are, he says not to hate those things and not to run from those things, but to be joyful and thankful that those trials, those tribulations, and those tests come to us so that we learn our need of him. And so don't think it a bad thing, even though it's not pleasant. Realize that it's a good thing because it shows you your need of staying in close communion with him, guarding your mind, guarding your heart, like Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house. How the Lord protected him and how the Lord strengthened him that he was able to withstand the temptation. He was able to turn and run out of the place, leaving his coat behind. He said, how can I do this to my God? How can I sin against my God? And he got thrown into prison for doing the right thing. And that's fine. God's people have always suffered for doing the right thing. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame, or let me not shame the Lord by doing things that are contrary to his precepts. And that's what he's saying here. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Meaning, enlarged heart today is a bad thing, isn't it? It's what they say. You've got an enlarged heart, you're in bad trouble. That's not what David's talking about. He's talking about increasing our love for God in our heart, our love for His Word, our understanding of His will, of His ways, our understanding of the devil's ways and how deceitful and scheming that he is to draw us and to lure us away from the will of God. Also to understand those things so that we become very crafty in our ways of staying, standing before the devil with all the armor of God on, that we may be able to stand against all the wiles of Satan, all the deceptions and all the things that he brings toward us. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. David's prayer and plea to God is that he teach him the way of his commandments, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Reminds me of Paul in Romans chapter 7, where Paul said, with my spirit, I do what's right, but with my flesh, I serve sin. And so David here is crying out to God, pleading with God to teach me thy commandments, O Lord, that I may keep them unto the end. Not just for a day, but keep them that I'm an overcomer to the end. It's he that overcomes, and he that endures until the end that shall be saved. Because the others are just playing a game. God's people will endure until the end. They may stumble, they may fall, but they won't stay there. And David's pleading, give me understanding. I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. That's David's plea. He wants the Lord to be very gracious unto him. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. David says, if you don't make me, God, I won't. I'll turn like a dog to his vomit. I'm prone to wander. I'll go off on the path over yonder. I won't stay in your ways if you don't make me to go in the paths of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. It is a delightful thing to walk in the ways of God's commandments. It's a very delightful thing to our heart and to our minds for believers when we're well-pleasing unto the Lord in our conduct, in our conversation, in our thinking, our thoughts. It is a very delightful thing for believers to do. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Again, we go back to the Lord's Prayer. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. David is praying the same thing here to the Lord. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. See, David understood that it was his natural desire to covet things. He's a rich man. David has the whole kingdom of Israel under his hand. And he could become very covetous. He could want and want and want and heap much riches upon himself and turn to sin and the things of this world. And so he's pleading with God, incline my heart. Turn my heart. Keep my heart, O God, unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. David's guarding his own heart here. He's praying for God to guard his heart against covetousness so that he don't want the things of the world. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in the way. Again, quicken thou me. Make me alive in thy way, O God. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. The same thing all believers do when they go to town. You have to close your eyes or turn your head to keep from seeing filthy nakedness and all kind of ungodliness. And so you pray the same prayer that David does here. Turn away mine eyes from beholding. Don't let me see those things or talk about or think about those things that are ungodly, even though I'm amongst these people, these heathen people, these ungodly folks. Turn away mine eyes from beholding this evil. this emptiness and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Establish thy word unto thy servant. Establish me in it and establish thy word in me. Who is devoted to thy fear, to the fear of the Lord. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. In other words, people reproaching me. David had a fear of people reproaching him. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, or the reproach which I fear, whatever that may be, whichever reproach that may be, of maybe family or because David knew that was upon him for all the days of his life, for thy judgments are good. Meaning that the word of God is good and the judgments of God are good, how he judges to quicken, to discipline, to scourge his people. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. I think David well understood that the righteousness of God was his only hope, that there was no righteousness in keeping God's precepts or keeping his law. We are not righteous because we keep them. We are righteous because it has been imputed or charged to our account. Therefore, we try to live our lives according to the word of God. He said, I have longed after thy precepts. I've hungered and thirsted after thy word, O God. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let me do those things that are pleasing unto thee. Okay, we'll stop and start at verse 41 next Lord's morning, Lord willing. But God, yes, Lord, to bless us in our disposition.